The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for listening, as always. And Julie D. Immel, hello to you.
Well, hello, Laurie Cadden. How are you?
I'm just Jim Dandy. Just Jim Dandy.
Excellent.
Been one of those weeks, Julie, of sheer craziness. There was a lot going on last week, as I think we talked about a little bit on Friday morning. But the weeks go by, and I literally forget what the heck I did over the weekend. But I don't have any overly impressive doings lately. How about you? Have you gone anywhere or done anything or been anywhere new that we can talk about, restaurants or any place that you've been?
I have not been anywhere new. No. I am very deep into spring cleaning right now, which probably a lot of people can relate
Ooh,
to.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, yeah, I know, very exciting, very glamorous life that I lead. But, you know how I like things to be clean, and this is my time to shine here. We're getting into closets, we're getting into Goodwill is going to be getting quite a lot. A lot of clothes have to be purged. You know, I'm in that mode right now. I don't know if you're doing some of that too, but
today I did my linen closet, my cabinet under my sink, and another cute little cabinet in my bathroom. I got rid of so much stuff, organized it. Kasha was with me today, so she and I got to it and we did it. And there's always a sense of accomplishment. So I'm with you. They call it spring cleaning for a reason, Julie. So I think everybody's sort of in that same mode. So go ahead.
I'm just saying it's astounding to me how much stuff I accumulate when I don't feel like I'm a big shopper. I mean, I don't feel like I'm shopping for recreation and picking things up like just because. I really don't do that. I really only buy something if I need it at this point, and I still am overrun with stuff. So I don't know. What were you going to say?
I just was going to say I kind of remembered what I did. I last week was a little crazy
good.
Week, but we talked about it because we taped on Wednesday, on Friday morning last week, so we did discuss some things.
Yes.
But Friday night we did go. I did was a caller at the UNC's bingo that was held at the Holy Cross Auditorium, which is always great, and it was packed. They did sell out as when Chrissy was on and we talked about, they were like, we hope we sell out, and they had over like 315 people or so there. It was packed and it was great. I mean, I can't even tell you. People, like the men and women who go and just have a lot of fun and laugh and listen, and I didn't screw up once, Julie. I said the right. I had
Excellent.
Jude McDonough who was pulling the balls, and he Price to Jude, tell me what they are before you give the book, just so I don't have to look. Because then I remembered all of my stuff from last year. I called an L, an I, and I called an O, zero. I was like 056, and like stupid things that I did. I can't even believe it. But anyway, I was on the money this year. Our table, all four of the gals that went with me, Evie Rafalka McNulty, Donna Barbetti, and Deb Peterson went, and we didn't win one red cent, nothing, not a gift card, a nothing. We didn't even come close to winning, none of us, all four of us, but it didn't matter. We laughed, we had fun, we were together. It was a good, we supported a great cause. And so I was just thrilled to be part of it. Jude did a great job. Jackie Lewandowski was there, and State Rep Kyle Mullins. Or not Kyle Mullins, sorry, Kyle Donahue was there. And it was packed, and it was great, and we had a lot of fun. And then I have to talk on Saturday, Julie. I had my Michael Egan, attorney Mike Egan, who is the uncle of my children, the great uncle of my children. He would be there, my children's grandmother, Helen Marie Egan Foley's brother. He was a lawyer in town, and he passed a little while ago, but Saturday morning was his funeral, and it was a beautiful, as funerals go, it was a beautiful funeral. It was at ICC, and it was just a beautiful morning of a celebration of his life. But it was just, I just have to say, it was incredible. So I want a big shout out to the Egan family. They're wonderful people, and they did a beautiful job for their dad. Todd, his son, gave a beautiful eulogy. We went to Russell's afterwards for the luncheon, and Russell did a phenomenal job. There were about 90 people with a three-course meal, and it was just a beautiful time. But I have to say, Mike Egan was always a friend of mine. When I first started to date Tom, Mike and I, his birthday was the day before mine, and so he and I always would call each other on our birthdays, and we became very, very dear, dear friends. So he was always one of my faves in that, you know, on my husband's side of the family. And to be part of this, his, you know, his last, what do you want to say, the last honor he had with this was just a privilege of mine to be part of it, because I just loved him dearly, and I love all of his children, and his grandchildren are lovely, and I can't say enough. His wife, Michelle, is a sweetheart, and it was a beautiful morning and afternoon to be surrounded by such great people and to celebrate the life of attorney Michael J. Egan. I just love him, and I love the family, but I just had to say it was wonderful. And what Todd was saying that people said about his dad at a recent seminar that he was at or convention, and he was a terrific, terrific guy. So Godspeed, Mike Egan. I love you dearly. And anyway, I had to say that. So that was all day Saturday, Julie, and it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day, period, but it was a beautiful day to celebrate his life and to be surrounded by so much love. It was just evident, the love that was there. So that's what I had to say about that too. But anyway, then this week, Julie, I've been out a lot myself. I was out Tuesday night up to Basilico's with Elaine Shepherd and Deb Peterson. Last night, we got a wonderful invitation. Deb Peterson and Tommy and I were invited to Dr. Catherine Richmond Cullen's beautiful home for dinner. And she cooked a beautiful French chicken meal, which was great. And Tommy made a delicious apple tart and brought it. And we had a lovely, lovely night. And so I've just been bopping around doing my thing. And I was out somewhere on Monday, but I cannot. Oh, at one of my other new faves, Joel Longhorn. Tommy and Doug Smith and I went to Longhorn and had my baked potato, sweet potato, and broccoli, and it was wonderful. And another great experience there, and the food, everybody's food was great. And so it was just nice. So I've been out about, Joel. I just was trying to remember it all, because when I'm put on the spot, I kind of forget. But
well,
and
sure.
I was at Abe's yesterday for lunch in the downtown deli last week, and we were at Mansour's one day last week, and I want to give a big shout out to Carolyn, because Carolyn Mansour's, they did the concession for the half marathon at Memorial Stadium, or whatever it is called now, but I call it Memorial Stadium. And Carolyn Mansour's was able to be there and sold their, you know, their coffee and water and juice and all of their, you know, several of the goodies that they have at the restaurant. So they were there to do that. And Carolyn sent me a note and said I sent her a call. I called her and said, hope everything went well for you. and she said it was great. So I'm just so delighted for them, because that was a big deal that they were asked, and she was able to do it because they're not open on Sunday, so it made it a little bit easier.
Right.
So, yeah. So I've been, and we ordered, the other day I had a meeting, and we ordered from Scanlon. So here we are talking about dinners and lunches, but who cares? It's what it's all about. Right, Jewel?
That's right. You've been everywhere this week. How about it?
I know. That's what I said. After I thought about it, then I remembered all these places I was at.
You've been out every day.
Yeah. I have been. It's been, the only day I wasn't was Sunday. I was home Sunday. So I did not go anywhere. Meyer's on a little trip to Florida, his birthday, and we have to give a big shout out because tomorrow, well, you're not going to hear us until the 18th, but Meyer's birthday is the 17th. So if you see Meyer next week roaming around and you know him, give Meyer Moskowitz a shout out because it's his birthday. Happy birthday to Meyer Moskowitz. Many, many, many more, my love, and just keep doing well because you're remarkable in all that you do. So that's it, Jewel. Anything else?
Wow, I'm exhausted just listening from your week. It sounds great though.
Uh-huh.
You always cover yeah. a lot of ground. Yeah, and I think you're probably happiest when you're out and about, aren't you?
I am.
You feel like you
I
get
like to go. I like
out.
To be.
Yeah.
I do. I love to be home, and I love to celebrate to be in my house and celebrate being home. But and make anything a celebration. But I love to be out with people, and I love being in restaurants and lunch places. They're just, people look forward to doing it and going and being. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's entertainment, and it's a way to connect with people that I love and that I see, and it's just good. I love, that's why I like events. That's why I like to do that. It's just all good stuff. So, yeah, I told you that guy used to yell at Lynn and me because we would talk about restaurants, and he'd say, is that all you people do is go to restaurants? No, but it's a big part of what we do. So, anyway, he doesn't listen to us anymore,
yeah.
I'm sure.
I was going to say, nobody forces him to listen. Yeah, if he doesn't care for the content,
right.
he cannot listen. I'm
That's
not sure
right.
why people get
change
so,
the channel,
so
buddy.
Sit over things. Yeah. I mean, I feel that way
That's
about
right.
everything. If you don't like what you're hearing or seeing, then turn the channel. Like, no one is forcing
That's
you with
right.
anything. Like, I think life is too
Julie,
short
but
to
I also,
be complaining about trivial stuff.
Yeah. Just listen to what's happening in our town. It's great. But I also want to give a big shout-out, Joel, because I forgot to do this last week. I was with Dr. Joe Legg, who's a wonderful, he's not a dentist, but he's a great doctor, and I want to think of the word, and I can't, endodontist, I think that's it. I said to him, Joe, he's in Dunmore, and I said, you are such a wonderful guy, and your personality and your bedside manner that I would go and have a root canal even if I didn't want one because you're just such a great guy. And he listens to the show all the time. He takes his mother. He goes to visit his mom on Saturday mornings, and he said he listens every week. So I meant to do it last week, and I forgot. Big shout out to Dr. Joe Legg. And, Joe, if I got that wrong on the call, people will get it. Joe Legg, Dr. Joe Legg. And also Attorney Joe Peters. I want to give a shout-out to him. He was at the Cultural Center event, and Joe used to be the executive director a long time ago. I was working there when he was there, and we had a great time, and it was nice to see him come out and support the Cultural Center. And we took a selfie, which he posted on his Facebook page. So I was happy to see him, and I love his dad. Former Mayor Gene Peters and his family, big West Side family, and we got to love them all. So shout out to both of those Joes, Dr. Joe Legg and Attorney Joe Peters. Okay, Joel, I think we're about wrapped, right?
We are, yes.
Yeah, so we are going to come back soon. We have two lovely ladies joining us. We have Mary Ann Moran Savakinis from the Historical Society. She is the executive director, talking about the game show You Live Here, You Should Know This, and Holly Sirachi from ERA. She's an associate broker with ERA One Source Realty, and they'll tell us a little bit about what's going on there. So stay tuned, guys. We appreciate it. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Laura and Caden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Caden Show, and I am Laurie Caden, the owner of Laurie Caden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, tell them what you do best.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website, juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Julie. And with us is Marianne Moran Savakinis, who is the executive director of the Lackawanna County, Lackawanna Historical Society. And Marianne, we've been doing this for a long time, but coming up very soon is the You Live Here, You Should Know This game show that has been going on there for how many years?
15 years.
15 years. So here we go. So we're all about it. Yours truly and Evie are one of the groups, and I love every minute of it, and can't wait to do it. So tell everybody a little bit about what's happening, if they want to come, how they can get there, and how this thing works.
Happy to. So You Live Here, You Should Know This is a local history game show focused on Lackawanna County. So basically, if you live in Lackawanna County, you have a good chance that you'll know a good part of the answers. The students that create the game shows are high school students from Valley View and Riverside High School. Every year they come to the Historical Society and we work with them to research local history, and then they create Jeopardy style game boards, and then we invite some of our favorite local people to come and play, like you and Evie, Lori. And we've also got our returning champions, who are Owen Orsbutt and Gerard Hetman. We've got Mike Muller and Chris Chelik, who are from Fancy Parsley, and they're coming in to try to regain their title that they claimed in 2024. We have the Riverside High School principal, Dave Walsh. He plays every year with the former principal from Riverside, Joe Mosayunas. We've got the mayor from Taylor, Lonnie Kavulich. Lonnie's father was Sid Kavulich. He actually played in the game show back in the day. And she plays with her best friend, who is with us every year, who's Dave Walsh's wife, actually, Sarah Walsh. We've got Judge Margie Moyle, who plays with State Rep Bridget Kosarowski. We've got another trustee of the Historical Society, Jack Sheen. Him and his dad play. And then we've got Mike Toluto, who many people know from his days with PennDOT. And if you ever shopped at Sears, you might have ran into Mike. And he plays with Dennis Yanishot, who was an art teacher at Riverside, who got to know some of the kids that did the game show when he was there and continues to support us. So we've got eight teams that play in four games at Art House in Scranton on Saturday, April 25th. Games start at 6 p.m. There's a minimum admission charge, but you come in, you watch these teams play, and those eight teams break it down into semifinals, and then we crown the champions at the end of the night.
Yeah, well, and we need to make a full disclosure. Laurie Caden was never crowned a champion. Any time she's ever done it, but we always have fun. And if I don't know it, I make something up. So either way, I'm not going to come without an answer, Mayor. I already told Evie, because she looked at me the last time we played. I couldn't play last year because it was the day of my daughter-in-law's local shower here, so
yes,
I couldn't play. And Evie, but the year before, there was some question, and I knew I had no clue what the answer was, so I just, made it up. And Evie's listening, she goes, "How do you know that?" I said, "I don't, I just made it up." She's like, "Oh, I can't believe you." So anyway, it's a lot of fun. We get we laugh at ourselves. You get angry, because I'm a major, I hate to lose, and I lose all the time with this, but you're like, okay, why couldn't it have been my question? I know the answer, and you're just... It's just so much fun, and what these kids do is amazing, the work they do. Mayor, how long do they work on this?
Well, they meet with us at least four times during the year. So they'll come on Fridays every couple of months to the Catlin House, and they'll spend their work day for school with us. And so, you know, we run a tight ship when they come in. We put out some of our local history books. We tell them to come up with some topics. Sometimes they get very creative. I think there's at least one pictogram topic this year, which is a lot of fun, where you have to look at the pictures and figure out what town in Lackawanna County it might be. And then they also create topics based on places. So here's a whole series of questions just about Jessup, or here's some questions about local, fire departments. Like they pull all kinds of categories, and we let them determine the categories, and then we kind of make sure that the facts are checked and we have the right answers, so we don't have any judges getting in trouble at the game show. But it is a lot of fun, and some of the questions, I won't lie, do get a little difficult, and it's okay, because I think it's good for the students to see them almost really challenging the adults and making them think a little harder and learn, because the adults that are playing learn, the kids that make the games play, and the people who watch the games learn a little bit more local history that night. So it's a great entertaining way to also instill some, you know, information about our past and our history and celebrate it together.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I love it. It's always, like I said, it's fun to watch, it's fun to participate, and you do learn. I mean, that's the beauty of it. So many questions, which is why I lose all the time, I have no idea what the answers are, and it's like, so when you finally learn what it is, you're like, oh my God, I had no idea. So I love doing it, and I hated last year that I couldn't be a part of it. Evie was kind of mad too, because now she's hooked on phonics as well, but she's, you know, we love it. And I'm telling you, if you guys have time and you have time and you can come and see this, please do, because it's a lot of fun, and it supports the Historical Society. You support these kids from, like Marianne said, right from Riverside High School and Valley View, so you're at one end to the other of the county. And it's wonderful how they get this done. And then they emcee it, and they do all of the stuff. They ask all the questions. And so it is a big deal for them, because they put themselves out there. They become the man in the arena as everyone's waiting. And, you know, you have to keep control of all these wild and rowdy contestants like we are. And, it's a great time. So, Marianne, what time does it start?
It starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday, April 25th.
Yeah, and it will be, as Marianne said, at the Art House. Where in the Art House will it be?
We will be in Theater 3. When you walk into the theater, there will be a table there with our sign on it and someone to greet you and take your admission. And then, of course, if you want, you can grab some refreshments there. They have a bar there. It's a Saturday night. And you could even, I think, order from your seat at that theater. So either way, if you're feeling like you need a little snack or some energy to keep you up for the games, you can get some good refreshments while you're there.
Yeah, I'm happy it's fair. I mean, we've been at a host of different places, which, you know, is always good to know. I think, did we start at the Scranton Cultural Center? Is that where we started out?
We did. We did. I think we did two years at Chaplain Hall at the Cultural Center. Then we moved it up to Montage. We were up there for a few years, right in the lodge at Montage. And then we went over to the Ritz Theater for a few years. So we've hopped around, and we'll probably move it again, because it's good to, you know, always get fresh spaces and change it up a little bit. We might be changing up the team style next year, too. I'm thinking I'm going to try to get local high school students, not from Riverside or Valley View, but the other schools, to play with some of the adults, so that we could get, we find the questions get difficult when they're generational. So if we have a student and an adult on a team together, we might be able to cross that challenge within the games. And some of our contestants in the past were students who returned. During COVID, it was all virtually, and I remember one of our all-time achieving students is James McCain. This is his big year, because he's a Revolutionary War reenactor, and James had played in the game back during COVID, I remember.
Yeah, I remember doing those because I did it right from Frank Blasi's office at the Broadway Theater, and Evie and I were there when we did it with virtually, and that was wild too. But see, that's the thing. People just want to keep doing it. Once you do it, you're hooked, and that's it. And Marianne, I would love to see like regions of the area or like pizza places, or get really distinct with what everybody likes and what you have to do. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's talk about the pizza. Who has this? And who, like, there's so many interesting things to do, which could be then like the generational part won't be as obvious, because people will know it just from, it gets the young kids to know as much as the older people. So I think, I think that's cool. But I love, I can't tell you guys enough how much I love to do it and how much I love to listen and learn, because it's fun. You can go out and have a nice a drink or some soft drinks and some refreshments, some popcorn, anything. Go in, sit in those comfortable seats at the Art House in those theaters. They're great. And learn. So it becomes, it's nice because you're out and you're with your friends, and yet you can also walk out of there feeling a little smarter than you did when you walked in. Marianne, are there any sponsors for this event that you need to mention?
We do not have sponsors for this event. This is this year. It's totally Lackawanna Historical Society driven. And I forgot what I was going to mention. There was one other thing. We did add a new phase to it a couple of years ago, where we have experts asking questions. If you've ever watched Jeopardy and you see the video come on of the person. So we made videos of some of our favorite local experts. So we've got people from Rock 107, the Everhart Museum, Black Scranton, Destination Freedom, the Everhart Museum, WNEP. We've got that new weatherman, Anthony Bordonello. He's asking questions about WNEP weather. And then we also have Daniel Packer, who was a volunteer at the Historical Society and is now a librarian and has written the book on the globe and Oppenheims. So that's a little hint of some of the themes we'll be hitting.
I love it. I love it all.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, and guess what, Mayor? I'm hoping one of the questions, I can say this because I have no idea. I'm hoping one of the questions is from Anthony. What was the coldest day ever recorded in the county of Lackawanna?
Well, I'm not allowed to say if that
you
is one
why?
Of the questions, but were you there?
No, I'm hoping it is. I was there because my second son, Sean, was born on that day, January 21st, 1994. It was 21 below zero, and it remains to this day the coldest day ever recorded in Lackawanna County history. Not windshield,
well, that's a nice,
not field light. So I'm hoping I get that one. Maybe that's a good one. That would be a great one. No one will ever get it, but I would. Anyway,
well, that's,
I'm just
that's
I gave
a good
you
one.
Some knowledge up front. It is a good one, and I always say when I describe my son, it might have been the coldest day in the ever recorded in Lackawanna County, but he's the warmest kid you'll ever meet. So how about that?
That's wonderful. Very nice.
Isn't that cute? I know. So anyway, Mayor, one more wrap up. What do they have to do? Did they just show up, tell them the date, the time, and then just give them a real quick run through?
Sure. We hope everybody joins us for a great night of local history trivia at the Scranton Art House, which is at 301 Lackawanna Avenue in Scranton on Saturday, April 25th. Games start at 6 p.m. You could probably come a little early and spend some time in their little restaurant bar area. And then the games will probably be at the championship game around 8 o'clock that night. So you should be out of and home by 10.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. I will see you soon. And as always, I appreciate your enthusiasm and your time. And we will see you guys. We'll be right back. We have Holly Sirachi coming up next to talk a little bit about the real estate market. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, what can you do for them?
Thanks so much, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you. And with us is the lovely Holly Sirachi of ERA One Source. Holly is an associate broker with ERA. She is in the Clark Summit office, which is their main office. They have four other offices, about 80-some agents in 10 counties. And Holly, as we talked about before, lots of stuff going on in the market or lots of stuff not going on. And we'd like to talk a little bit about that. And what you said off air, you said things are a little weird in the way that everything is around and it's affecting the market. So let's delve in and see what we can learn from the next 12 minutes or so. What's happening, Hal?
Well, first, hello. It's just strange.
Hello.
And basically, you know, I'll be 23 years in this business. There's not much I haven't seen or any markets that I haven't worked in. And you're seeing very low inventory. So you're seeing a lot of competing offers again and multiple offers on properties, but then you're seeing other things like other properties sit and people are not making a move, maybe because they're anxious. And then you're seeing extremes, which are properties, some like over $1 million that are getting competing offers, and the low same, but that middle range is odd. And I get it. Like, you know, you turn the stock market's up, it's down, it's this, it's, you know, real estate is the driving force of the economy. And I have friends in other areas in Arizona and, you know, Ohio and different places. And some say the market came or the, you know, the real estate market came to a screeching halt. And then others are saying we can't keep things on the market. So there's really not a rhyme or reason. It's odd. It's just very odd.
Do you think some of it is because of the uncertainty with other prices and the gas? Yeah. Okay.
I do 100%. When the market collapsed, third quarter of 2007, nobody could get a mortgage. So, you know, maybe they were pre-approved in the morning and then in the afternoon they were not. Oil was over $100 a barrel. It was freezing cold out, you know, so it was $100 to fill your car in a bad economy. So that doesn't necessarily play a part right now. But when people are unsure of what is going on, they don't do anything. But then you have different segments of individuals that it's not bothering. So it's a little confusing. Like I said, there was, you know, a property in the Abingtons, over $1 million, multiple offers. Lake Winola, over $1 million, multiple offers. There's literally only 26 properties listed in the Abingtons. There's 42 in North Pocono, but that, again, encompasses, you know, not just your normal properties, but also your lake properties, that kind of a thing. Valley View School District, 22 properties. Scranton, 84 properties, ranging 82,000 to 699,000. So it's, you know, I showed three homes yesterday to a young couple, and, you know, then I get a phone call after the last property. They actually decided they wanted this one home that we showed, and, you know, the agent called and said, hey, do you think you'll put an offer in because we have three on the table?
Wow.
I said, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I had appointments for two others, that I was supposed to show this week. They went under contract. You know, the agent just texted me and said, hey, we just accepted a contract, so we can't take your appointment. So it's just, there's really no rhyme or reason to anything. It's either, you know, pedal to the metal or freaking halt.
Yeah. Wow.
That's but there's wild. Definitely a shortage regardless.
Well, yeah. I mean, looking at these, hearing these numbers, that's no, I mean, it's nice to hear these numbers because we always talk about the lack of inventory, but to know the numbers, I mean, in the entire Abington school district, there's 26 properties available.
26. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and then of course, North Pocono, another people like to that school district. So that's another. And then you have Scranton with how many? 82?
84.
No, that was
84.
84. Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Wow.
And, you know, so the properties, some of them that are out there. So, okay, so I just pulled up Mid Valley. There's 13 properties in Mid Valley listed. 13.
Wow.
13. I'll pull up Dunmore. Hold on 1 second. I mean, anybody that is on the fence, there's 12. 12 properties in Dunmore. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'll go to, let me see this. Hold on 1 second.
We're doing this live. Holly's right on while we're doing this, so this is kind of fun.
Yeah, there's,
matter of fact, we just talked about Scranton. You remember you were saying there's 24, and you said, oh, wait a minute, 2 just came on. So this is like live here as things are changing. So
yeah, there's anyway, 14 in Riverside School District, 14 properties in Riverside School District. So that's all of Taylor, all of Moosic, all of Greenwood, 14. There's a serious shortage of inventory, so anybody that is on the fence, call me, because there is no inventory.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, if your house is priced appropriately and I help stage it and get it ready, you know, a whole pre-marketing campaign and what have you, there's a need. And then sometimes you'll have buyers that will say, I'm going to wait till more homes come on. And then they wait, and then next thing you know, the one that they might have been considering is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just very bizarre.
So what do you think, but Holly, what do you think if we're talking, is the same reason then for not putting people, their homes on, is because they're uncertain as to whether they can afford the next house or how quickly it will sell, or shouldn't they look? What is the main reason, do you think?
So, you know, when a lot of people refinanced when the rates dropped, so they have maybe a 2.85 or 3% interest rate. That being said, this was supposed, 2026 was supposed to be a banner year, like far exceeding last year. We didn't have a bad year last year, but a lot of the markets did. So this was supposed to be a 14% increase over last year. It's still saying it's going to be up when I read, you know, all of the news outlets and what have you, they shrank it down to 4% increase, mind you, increase. They don't want to let go of their 2.5 or their 3% when the rates are a little bit higher, because if they're moving elsewhere or downsizing, upsizing, right-sizing, the rates are around 6.3 right now. They had gone down to 5.99, which was great. So if they went down another point, it wouldn't have been that different. Wouldn't have really made that much of a difference. But the fact that they went, and I mean, listen, you know, 6% is not bad, but in comparison to 2.85 or 3, you know, that's a little bit different. But if they were at 5%,
right,
that's not really that big of a deal. But they went the other direction with, you know, the uncertainties right now. So that's more of what it, you know, because even when the rates went to 8%, you know, everybody put on the brakes and they were nervous and they were anxious. But then everyone got used to it and said, well, not a big deal. I'll refinance when the rates go back down. You know, marry the house, date the rate. So that's the way it goes.
Right.
we got used to that. And then rates were coming down, things were stabilizing, and then, you know, things got a little crazy. So I think it will correct itself. I do. But I just might take a minute. But anybody that is contemplating, put your house on the market. You know, that's,
yeah.
If
yeah.
you have someplace else to go, or you don't need a mortgage, or, you know, it's going to, more likely than not, it'll take 30 days to, you know, get your house under contract. And, you know, by the time you get on the market, get it under contract and close, could be anywhere from 30 to 60 days. So you have time, and hopefully things are back to normal at that particular point. But that's what's going on. It's just a little strange time right now.
Wow. Well, I just, you know, when you think about it, do most people, Holly, that are buying, are a lot of people still in that position where they are, they have to, before they can move or buy another house, they have to sell theirs? Or are people a little more adventuresome and doing it, and, you know, putting the house on and getting the other, how's that working these days? You know, already in the process of selling before theirs sells. What are people a little more, they're willing to wait?
I don't have any bridge mortgages right now where clients are, you know, taking out that second mortgage. But
right.
if anything,
right.
what I have going on is, you know, sellers saying to me, I can't put my house on the market because I know my house will sell immediately and I don't have a place to go to.
I get it. So I'm thinking
that's
that might
what's
be
going
somebody's
on.
Hesitation too. Yeah, exactly. Well, tell everyone how they can get in touch with you, Holly, if they'd like to put their house on the market or at least discuss that. How can they reach you?
Absolutely. My cell phone is best, which is 570-885-0157.
There you go. Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to talking to you again next month. And in the meantime, have a good weekend, and everyone else out there, enjoy your weekend. I hope it's a nice one for you, and we always, as usual, appreciate you listening to us. We'll see you next week. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye-bye.